guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 486 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, we're going to tell you how to keep cool at the parks. One of the things we always fight is the heat in Florida. And today we're going to talk about a bunch of different ways to keep cool. To help me do that are my favorite snow elves. We have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. I've got my sunscreen, my umbrella, ready to talk being hot.
Yes, or keeping cool. Let's keep cool. Let's keep positive and blue. To help us also, we have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
I'm ready for summer, in channeling my inner Olaf here. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Very cool. Before we start, though, we're going to talk about a little news from the parks. But I tell you what, you said Frozen. I went to my nephews. They're twins. They're eighth graders. They just had their play last week. They did Frozen Junior.
Nice.
Which, you say Junior, it was just basically Frozen. They had all the songs. They had all the characters. Ben played the king. So he had all the glory, and he got out of the play early, and he got to sit in the back and watch. And my other nephew, Griff, was Count Weaselton, or Wesselton, or however you want to pronounce it. And he was great. So they were both really, really good in it. So it was really fun watching.
That's crazy to think that they are already touring Frozen in, you know, through middle and high school, your local musical channels. So that's, it doesn't feel like the movie is that old, but it really is.
It unfortunately is. And everybody, of course, knows all the songs. So it's like a sing-along as you're doing the whole play. So really, really fun time. And they were very what's the word I'm looking for? They did a lot of the scenes very creatively. And just the one example is the snow. It was 8 girls that came out dressed in white like ballerina dancers that danced all over the stage, and they represented Elsa throwing the snow around and like whirling in the wind.
Oh, that's cool.
It worked out very well. It was really nice.
I feel like I have heard, though, that like Disney, because you know they are a supporter of the arts, they actually either do some of their musicals free to kids, like for school age, for school plays, or it's like a super discounted like rate for the school to pay for the rights to do the play. So
right. I'm not sure how discounted it is. I'm actually gonna ask around and I'll find out. But if that's the case, that's great. It does sound like it'd be awesome.
I know I wish I could have done Frozen for my school play. You know.
Yeah, I know. So hopefully the guys keep with it. They, like I said, they did really well. So what we want to talk about news wise, which is always amazing how something new is happening every day down in Walt Disney World. Morgan, give us a Frozen update.
Well, one thing that I thought was really cool on Disney Parks TikTok is where I saw this. Hong Kong Disneyland is getting a Frozen Land, which we knew about from D23. And they did a little behind the scenes video, and November 2023, Frozen World of Frozen will open in Hong Kong Disneyland. So even more reasons for us to go overseas.
Well, unfortunately, this year we won't make it, but maybe next year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If anybody wants to play the winning lottery ticket, you know, I am down to go with you overseas to a Disney park.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, it's not the playing that's the case. It's the winning.
Yeah, that's why I said get a winning lottery ticket. I didn't say just get a lottery ticket.
Well, very cool. Very cool. Now, some other news, which was this is the odd news of the week because, now, maybe not. I think we saw this coming a couple months ago when they announced how they were going to do some different like hours and such. But the Galactic Star Cruiser at Hollywood Studios or off Hollywood Studios property up in orbit is going to be closing at the end of the summer this year. Like I said, about a month or two ago, they announced how they're going to have definitely different days. They're going to have people there and they were cutting back a little bit on being able to book it. And then today it was announced. And basically they're going to talk to whoever had reservations past the summer and they're going to work out details with them. But I don't think this was kind of unknown. I think we kind of were all expecting this a little bit. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. And we saw the shift in dates, but also the discount that they had offered. It was a 25% off on some of the reservations going through summer and fall. I'm wondering if that wasn't to test the waters and see, okay, COVID's over, the traveling is back to normal levels, or if not, pent up energy to travel more. And even with a discount, they just weren't getting those reservations filled and looking to take that Star Cruiser in a different direction.
Yes, it definitely seems like it's going to be hitting Spaceport for an extended stay. Morgan, what do you think? Do you have an opinion as far as people booking the place, or was it not going to be an issue? Or
I mean, I definitely feel like it was coming. Even when I know Sam got to do like a media preview of it, and so did our friends Michelle and Scott from the Main Street Mouse. And it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this is the coolest thing ever kind of reviews. And if anybody was going to give me that kind of review, I was expecting that from Sam because he is such a Star Wars nerd. So
well, he was excited. I just don't think it was 100% all the time excited.
I don't like. When it
Do you think it was,
Disney,
I don't want to spend $5,000 at a minimum excited?
Sure. It was.
And the rest of your family feels that excited about it?
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's just too many variables. Like, I feel like it's hard to find a family that loves Star Wars. Like, the every single person in the family loves Star Wars enough that it is worth that money. I mean,
You couldn't justify it. I'm sorry. You could love Star Wars. You could be the biggest fan of the world, but if you just don't have the income to afford this, you can't do this. It's just,
I think it's the money for sure, but it's also the time, right? You have to take the time off of work, fly everybody down there, and you want to have a vacation. And this wasn't a vacation. This was you go in and you have an itinerary.
Yes.
Like minute to minute to minute that is 100% Star Wars. And to find a family of three or four who wants to dedicate that many days to just doing Star Wars gameplay and spend that kind of money, it's a very niche market.
Yeah.
Right, which I think they would have, I don't know if it comes back to the price again, where I could see it if it was a lesser price, even by half, you would have had people with no issues packed all the time. And I wonder really how much the numbers had gotten down. I haven't heard or seen anything about number-wise, so I don't know if I just didn't dig deep enough or they weren't just releasing them.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to do it, but it was the price. And I know my parents wouldn't have gone with me. They don't like Star Wars enough to do that fully immersed. My boyfriend might have gone with me if the price was cheaper. But also,
how can you bring somebody? That's how many thousands of dollars? No.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, like, bottom line, I'm surprised it lasted the year.
Right. And they had the accommodations looked authentic. But that was kind of the problem too. If you're paying that much money, you stay at the best room at the, you know, Contemporary or the Grand Floridian, the ultimate room, basically. Yeah. So I think they kind of confused some of the details behind the cost of the stay being cost effective versus what kind of stay it was. Granted, it was Star Wars, but wow. And they had such great things. They had the different types of activities. You had the, like, you know, we were saying the itineraries, and you got to take the shuttle down to Batu and have that special experience of going to a planet and visiting it. Yeah, I get all that, but it still comes back to it.
But also, if I was going to spend that kind of money, I would have stayed on the quote unquote Starship the entire time. Just like when I spend more money for like a deluxe or a moderate resort at Disney, I'm going to spend more time at the resort and kind of feel like I'm getting my money's worth. So for that kind of money, I wasn't going to be going to Batu if I did it. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hope that they do something with it. There's a demand for having a Star Wars hotel. I think, you know, having that theme, being able to stay in that world, but just in a very different way, like traditional beds, not bunk beds, windows, a pool, a hot tub, you know, like, and having the theming there, but like having the, just a more standard resort experience in the price point that makes sense for a deluxe resort.
But the flaw with that is the location that they built it in. They're not going to put a pool, you know, they're not going to open the windows because they don't want you to see the backstage. So, I mean, and
they kind of have done this too, because you have a Little Mermaid hotel, like themed areas, and you have rooms themed after Toy Story, or don't they have things like that around the hotels on
part of animation?
Yeah.
You could imagine having the Star Wars thing. Okay. Well, so kind of what Melissa is saying leads us into the second part of this conversation about this news announcement, is that what are they going to do now? They built an entire building shaped like a starship in the middle of the woods outside of Hollywood Studios. And I'm thinking it's not going to go the way of River Country. It can't just be abandoned and then just be left there. So we came up with some ideas of what's going to happen next. And I tell you, I can't wait for this to happen, even though it's not going to, because we're going to talk about it. Because the nerd
Spirit Halloween store.
We're going to ruin it.
Hey, Ed, don't spoil it. Let the audience come back in a couple of weeks, and we're all going to talk about it and come with our ideas. So listeners, definitely send us a message and let us know what you think. We can read it on the air. Otherwise, tune in and we'll give you our ideas.
And I guarantee what we have is something you're going to want to do. And if Disney doesn't want to do something like this, I can't imagine a better way to make money on a place that didn't do what it was supposed to have done. So, okay, definitely stay tuned. So here we go with the show for tonight, how to stay cool in Walt Disney World. As you know, the last couple years, Walt Disney World has gotten hotter and hotter, it seems. Now it seems like it's in the 90s year round almost. You get the little type of dip in temperature in January, February that's always supposed to happen, but I still see it where they're advertising 80 degree days in different times during then. So what we're going to do tonight is talk about the different ways that we've experimented with, we've seen, and basically we've just proved to keep cooler in the parks.
Our tried and true, tested, Disney nerd certified, approved.
Sweat proof.
Yeah. Sweat proof, dehydration proof tips and tricks.
But even saying that, of course, there's going to be some things we're going to say that are very, very basic, and you're going to think that, which I understand, but we got to get through the basics before we get to some of the special things that we do. So the biggest thing, and let's get it out of the way, is water. You got to drink water. And we tell people that all the time. I usually bring a case of water to the park, keeping it in my room, and take bottles with me to the park, keep them in my fridge, keep them cold. You can have water delivered to your room. You can actually, at Pop Century, I haven't tested this out and I will soon, buy a case of water for not an outrageous price. So I'm going to look into that too. But basically water.
Yep. I actually did. And I normally take a reusable bottle when we go. Usually it's a double walled, so it keeps cooler longer. One thing that I did differently on my March trip when I was there for the media event that we were invited to for Tron, that was the first time I flew in like many years. I did an Amazon Prime order, and instead of ordering a case of water, I ordered the big like gallon jugs of spring water.
Oh, sure.
Which is a heck of a lot cheaper if you think about it. Also, you don't have just plastic bottles. Like my trash can usually in my room would be overflowing with water bottles by the end of the trip, but it was cheaper and I've got a reusable bottle. So I am going to switch to this technique from now on.
Sure.
For the money saving and the plastic saving and the.
Does it fit in the refrigerator?
Yeah, I can get one bottle in.
Okay.
Now I don't put other stuff in my fridge. So if you're a person that you have other snacks, that can't fit on the door or like other drinks. I know like some of us have like Gatorades and sodas and stuff like that might not fit in that case, but I only have water.
Sure.
One thing we do is similar to that. It's the ones that the big gallon, and then they have the plug that like opens up and then it can fill a water bottle.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
So we just leave them on the table because they don't fit in the mini fridges if we're not staying in like a DVC or somewhere that has a full fridge, and then just put ice. And we love our Yeti thermoses. Everyone has their own, so they stay cool. And even when it's just air conditioned room temperature with some ice in it, it still feels better during that hot day than anything once you have that double walled kind of thermos. So yeah, we do the same thing for the same reasons, Morgan, just less trash, less waste in the environment. It's a little bit cheaper and you know, everyone can just refill their water bottles and a little bit of ice and we're good to go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think, I did 3 of those bottles from Amazon and I think that I spent like, not including the tax and all that, but I think it was like $4 for 3 big gallon jugs, which I would have spent way more than that on a case of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, last year, it was the first time I brought one of the bottles like Morgan was talking about with the double walls, the metal containers to the parks, refillable guys, just because my daughter would carry it. She's like, I have the backpack. I'm carrying mine, so I'll carry yours. So don't worry about it. Yep. She had actually given it to me for Christmas that year. So I took it, and it was great because we filled it up with the cold waters in the room and ice from the machine. And then what was double awesome was that, okay, guys, here's tip number one. This is the massive tip about water at Walt Disney World. You can get free water at any of the quick service restaurants and any kiosks that has a soda machine in it. If it's got a soda machine where they can, you know, they're pouring soda, definitely they'll have water on that too, which you'll get a cup of water and ice, which will go right into that reusable container. And it is so cold and it keeps it so cold all day. And this one was the type you don't have to tip up. So it was just a bonus too, that you just don't have to like, you know, tip them up to drink out of it. You're just sipping it like a straw, like a regular drink. Tight container, put it back in the bag, get on the ride. So worked out well. We're definitely doing it again this year.
Yeah, I've even gotten to the point, Corksicle rope and other companies have this, like it's like a crossbody bag that is kind of like a wallet size, but it actually has another pocket that's designed to fit a water bottle in. So mm-hmm. like those Disney spring days where you might not have the big backpack, I'm totally going to try to find one of those bags and like carry that, because normally I'd probably like have just my wallet or something like that at Disney Springs, but I still bring my water. And that's just something else in my hand that I'd rather not. So I needed another reason to get a bag, but now I got another reason to get a bag.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Always have a reason to get a bag.
This is true.
Speaking of things to keep cold, so I have a lot of kid-friendly kind of ways to keep cool on my list. Obviously, I have a little one, been going to the park since he was 3 months old, and a Yeti cooler. Carrying whether it's milk or formula, baby food, snacks, whatever the case may be, having some of those smaller double insulated, whatever you want to call it. I prefer Yeti, cooler for the bottom of the stroller. We literally kept things frozen, even during the day, in July, hot park with an ice pack in there, and kept everything we needed to, at perfect temperature, to get, you know, him through the day. So they have lots of different sizes and that was really a must have for us, traveling with younger kids. I don't need to do it anymore. Right. We just all have our little Yeti water bottles and, right. We get our snacks or whatever, but having that cooler in the bottom of the stroller is super convenient.
But don't you miss that the days of the stroller, though, being able to carry so much crap in the stroller? Like you could.
I'm still in the stroller days because I need it to carry all the crap.
That's awesome. Put sandwiches and drinks in the core instead of the baby food and stroll around with it, you know?
Yep. That's great. Well, yeah, and that's a great point. There's a lot of folks who want to save some money by bringing maybe one of their meals, sure, by bringing sandwiches. The first time I ever went to Disney, we did that a lot. And yeah, one of these coolers would be great to hold a couple cans of soda, hold your sandwiches and whatever, and then another separate bag for kind of room temp chips and fruit and stuff would work super well.
And Disney's pretty liberal as far as their rules about bringing things in the park, like coolers and such.
Absolutely. Just can't have glass, except babies can have glass containers for food. But otherwise, they just ask that, you know, adults not carry glass food items in and no alcohol.
Right.
Actually, I think that's a great idea. And one thing I wanted to say is once the stroller age turns around, then it goes the reverse, because then when we get older, we have the ECV, you know.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Which, I mean, Ed, you, of course, know when we're with my mom, who has to have an ECV, mm-hmm, everybody loads her ECV up. Jimmy, Kim, all of us, that's you know.
True. Any little side saddle bags for the ECVs to, like, carry stuff, that's you know?
Yeah. I actually want to get her, they sell them in the parks, and now that I'm looking for it, I can't find it.
Of course.
It's the little bag that goes on the stroller for like water bottles and different things like that. I want to find one of those for her and put it on her ECV just so she has more, you know, little.
Go, like Bye Bye Baby. Like look at Bye Bye Baby and you'll find a plethora of ones for strollers, and I bet it would fit on the handlebars.
Yeah, I was just looking Disney, of course. So now I don't care if it's got Mickey on it.
Stroller Caddy. That's what I think it's called.
Nice.
Yes, I think that's what it's called.
Our stroller caddy is actually insulated, so you can add even more stuff to keep it cool.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I've noticed, a lot of people who don't have babies are starting to carry like the diaper bag book bags, and they have insulated compartments in them. So if you've got that as your backpack for the parks and you've got a compartment that's insulated like a cooler, you can put your drinks and stuff like that in there as well.
Yep. Nice. Or even just like granola bars, stuff that has chocolate, that stuff gets melty and horribly hot during the parks. But if it's in an insulated area that even has a little ice pack or something, it's just going to stay congealed, or at least in the correct form that you want to eat it.
Squeeze it out of the package when it gets to that point. Right. Like toothpaste. Whatever works. Hey, sugar is sugar and you can use the boost, but keeping it nice and solid doesn't hurt.
This is true. Now, I do want to say, in addition to water, especially when we're in the June, July, August months, you probably want to do some Gatorade, Powerade, something with electrolytes, just because that's going to help with the dehydration. Water's good, but sometimes water's not enough. I don't do Gatorade, I don't do Powerade unless I don't have what I usually have on me, which are either Noon, which a lot of runners use. They are little tablets that you can just pop in your water. It actually kind of gives your water a little bit of fizz. You can pick a flavor. So those are actually easy to transport. And then I also have this other stuff called Rehydrate, which again is in a little packet, little powder, easy to transport. You don't have to worry about, you know, all this liquid on the airplane or anything like that. So don't just do water and alcohol. got to get the electrolytes in as well.
Is there a flavor to those little things you put in the water?
Yes. And like you can get like the Noon, which is N-U-U-N. You can get them on Amazon and there's like so many different flavors. I found out about it because my friend does a lot of Run Disney races and she uses it. Then I started using it. And now I'm like just going through all the flavors trying to find my favorite one. But you got like fruit punch, blueberry, you name it, there's a flavor for it.
Because there used to be a time back in the day when that was the way to do it. You had the packets of like High C, or you had the packets of the different flavored fruit, and you take the full bottle of water, you pour the little packet into it, shake it up, and you had a nice, really sugar fruit flavored beverage. But actually, I guess it was more, I guess, not sugar as far as like artificial sweetener type of thing.
Well, this is, of course, a little healthier than the artificial.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I like the way they went with it.
Very cool.
It's a It's a great option for a lot of people don't like the taste of water in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida is not known for the best tasting water. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the, you know, getting bottles of water brought in is typically the route people want to go. But having those little flavor packets that are low sugar are a nice way to offset it. I don't drink a lot of soda or sugar drinks, but we will bring, I think it's called like Liquid IV or...
Yeah, that's one of the other ones.
That's another one that's like a runner favorite. And those are really great electrolytes. They just add a little bit of flavor, so kind of mask all that chlorine. And then you're not buying all the bottles of water at $4.50 a bottle.
Yeah, I don't think it's chlorine, unfortunately, the taste you taste in Florida water. You taste
I
swamp.
I don't want to know.
It's the best I can say, which now here's the thing. At Walt Disney World, if you drink out of a water fountain, you're going to taste that or you're going to have that taste. If you drink out of the sinks at the hotels, you're going to have that taste because that's the normal water. It's totally okay to drink it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It just has a little bit of a flavor to it. But when you go, and like I was saying earlier, as far as getting the free waters or just even ordering a water, if it's coming from a machine from Coca-Cola, it's being filtered and it's getting that taste out of it because they don't want their sodas to taste like that. So you can always be guaranteed that's going to be very, very nice, good tasting water. And the ice that they make is the same. It's made from that water also.
Yeah. And when you do the double insulated cup or bottle,
it's great.
I mean, I've come back to my room and I'm like, I still have ice in my cup. Like,
right. Sure. Or the opposite of coffee. I mean, I've seen hot stay for like, you know, well into the afternoon, I've still had hot.
Yeah. I mean,
so, they're definitely great technology changers in the last couple of years in those bottles.
And like I said, Melissa likes Yeti. I've been a big Tervis fan for a long time and I've now joined the Corksicle club. So pick your brand and you're good
whatever's
to go.
Available. Yeah. Whatever I get, that's fine. Okay. So now another kind of thing to think about as far as keeping cool in the parks is what you wear. So your clothes. So as you kind of get ready for the day, you've watched the weather, you know your week is going to be in the 90s. It's going to be as hot as it's been in this part of Florida in a long time. However, anything you wear is going to help. Obviousness is shorts, a skirt, dress for ladies. Wearing
moisture wicking.
Right, exactly. So your sweat gets out and everything stays nice, dry, and cool on the inside. Definitely great ideas. What else you guys got?
Yeah, I had breathable clothing for sure on our list. So we really tried to avoid jeans. Those are do not breathe. They're not great when they get wet, either because of your sweat or because of that 4 o'clock shower that happens in Florida.
Sure.
I do also prefer SPF clothes. For me, I want to, you know, have my SPF and keep my skin safe and avoid the sunburn. But I also find that my skin can't breathe as well when I have a layer of sunscreen on. So mm-hmm. I tend to try to wear a hat to kind of cover my face so that my face can still breathe. And then, you know, have my shoulders covered with like an SPF type fabric. So I don't need the sunscreen on my back and my shoulders. And then really I'm just kind of have that sunscreen on my arms. As I need it. So those are the kind of clothes that we tend to look for, cotton, you know, natural fibers, and SPF and hats.
Sure. Definitely. And you mentioned the hats. That's another big one as far as wearing a hat. The sun, just like in the wintertime, you lose the heat through your head, the same with the heat coming back in through your head and it kind of boils the brain. A hat definitely helps. Light colored clothes, awesome. You know, we learned that early in school. You want to wear light colors, not dark colors. I really start sweating when I see people dressed in jeans and black t-shirts. And I just can't, you know, but some people can do it. So they can handle it. They're used to the heat. I just like, you know, start to shiver.
Yeah. As much as I love my spirit jerseys, you will not see me wearing those in the parks in the summer.
Sure.
They're just too heavy, long sleeve. One thing I think is kind of cool with hats nowadays is you can actually get the cooling, like the same cooling towels that you get. You can get those in a hat. So that's really cool.
So you like wet the hat and it keeps the water and it just keeps everything cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. That I think is good.
And that's a great segue into the category of bandanas, wet cloths, towels. We'll take washcloths from the hotel. It's not like we're stealing them because we're taking them to the park. We're taking them back with us. But they're great if you want to just kind of dry off real quick when you go inside an air-conditioned store or ride or something like that. We didn't have that much have fun with these, but the material and the cloths that you soak in water and you rinse out and you snap for one brand of them and you do these different things and you wrap around your neck. Some got you cool. It never seemed to last long enough till you had to start like wetting it again. And then God forbid you didn't take care of it and it got the smell because they could definitely get the fungus. There's a lot of different things and we could have just been doing it wrong. We just didn't have really good experiences with that.
One thing I found with the cooling towels is that's a perfect example of like the better the brand, the better the quality and the better it's going to work. Okay. So if you're like me and you just, pick the cheapest one on Amazon, that's not going to work as well. Mission is one that I've used. And of course I've lost those. I got to buy new ones that work and work well.
How do you find those?
Amazon.
Amazon.
Right.
Now, this podcast episode is sponsored by Amazon. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, these are the ones that when you dry out, they become really stiff, right?
They can be. I don't know if they do that anymore. I think that was like first generation ones.
Fair enough. And again, that's where we tried them and we kind of blew it off after that. So maybe we have to try it again.
Yeah.
Great idea.
So I have an odd one.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's odd. I think it's odd. We learned this when we moved there, right? So I moved from Wisconsin where it can get 100 degrees. It also can be negative 50. But deodorant. So when we moved to Florida, it was like antiperspirant 100% is what we use. But then once you're down there, having that ability to sweat is really healthy for you. So I'm going and shifting to more of a deodorant versus an antiperspirant so that you still get the benefits of maybe not smelling so ripe and staying feeling fresh. Baby wipes are great to have on you or something like that. But just letting your body be able to do what it's naturally made to do, we absolutely switch when we go down and visit for a week or so, just to be able to like have that, your body do what it's supposed to do.
Well, that's a great idea.
I actually go a little step further than that, is I actually have not baby wipes, but deodorant wipes. Like they're like body wipes. So they're made for that, especially like when you do like a half day, like a day where you spend half of it in your resort, like do a cool down day, like for a couple hours, and then you go back to the parks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it sounds gross, but I don't want to take a shower because I'm going back out to sweat, but I at least want to feel a little less gross.
Right.
So yeah. I get those, body wipes and, wipe the arms and the feet and, all that just to feel a little bit better and obviously reapply the deodorant. But yeah, like that. This is why I'm an overpacker because
You never know. That's a whole other show as far as packing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. You just never know what's going to be like. So you have to cover a lot of bases, but I get that.
Yeah. Like a company like Loom is great. Like being able to have those deodorant wipes where you can still be fresh and not, a little insecure when you're that close to somebody on a bus and you've been sweating all day, but you also don't have necessarily the antiperspirant on to like try to like stop your body from sweating.
When you actually miss the face masks.
Right? Yeah, they didn't help sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. So another really, really basic one as far as a way to keep cool at the parks is that anywhere you are in Walt Disney World, you're never far away from either an attraction or a store. And if they do nothing, they pump the AC all the time at Walt Disney World. Everywhere you go from the hotel, well, actually, except for the rooms at night, but everywhere else, they pump AC everywhere. And it's almost like an oasis walking between oasises. Because you're walking through the stores and the Emporium just to stay in the AC all the way down Main Street till you get to the hub. And then you're working your way over to Adventureland and, you're passing around the stores on the way past Aladdin's, magic carpet. You're getting a little AC kind of on the side there. So it's a way to kind of keep cool. And then every attraction you're going on to, you're going to get cool, which brings up another point of having a towel with you, is that when you get under the attraction, if you're sweating from being hot getting there, and then you go into like 70 degrees, which doesn't sound cold, but from 90 degrees, yeah, it's a big change in temperature. Dry off a little bit, because you're not going to get that chill that once in a while happens. Pirates, I was thinking, because Pirates is a big one. You go underground like that and it gets really super cold, especially when you're on the boat. The same thing used to be on Splash all the time too. We'd go down the mountain and splash, you come back inside of the Celebration and it was frigid because you just got soaked. And so you always got to kind of get ready for the back and forths of it.
One thing I like to do when I had the cooling towels that really did work and work well, is get them wet and activate them right before I got into that Pirates line. Cause that was just like, you just have that moment where you're just nice. And cause that's cold, you're getting cold. It was like perfect combination.
Nice.
We like to structure our day so that, you know, between 1 and 5, we're trying to do some of those longer queues or longer shows that will keep you cool during the hottest part of the day. And that could also mean dipping into one of the baby stations if you've got a little one, just to cool off and, you know, eat a meal or something like that, watch one of the shows that they've got going on. There also could be, if you're a pass holder, there's a couple of pass holder lounges that we're going to see coming this year.
Oh, looking forward to that.
So take advantage of those. And they've had other lounges that have popped up, whether you're a particular insurance carrier or
DBC.
DBC. They had the Chase one for a while. So every so often in the summer, they'll have a lounge for particular members. So just watch for those. And those are great places. But also don't forget about just some of the open air restaurant attractions like at Epcot or Hollywood Studios, where you can just go in and just cool off and just take a moment to breathe and sit for a little bit. Those are great places.
I was thinking the Odyssey over at Epcot for whatever festival's going on.
Yep.
There's always a couple places per park that do have that. Morocco, there's a couple places you can go inside and relax and just chill out. The museum, even kind of the back hallways back there, because there's so many stores, the air conditioning kind of wafts through it, the back walkways and stuff. So looking for AC. That's what you do when you remember where it is a lot of the times too, because it's, like I said, it's the oasis.
And a lot of times for me, like, that's the perfect time to justify a sit-down restaurant is in the summer. Just to sit down and cool off. That is your break from the parks, because you're in an actual restaurant. And even better than that, just like go over to one of the neighboring resorts and go have a meal there.
Sure.
Sit in their AC.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, hey, even the lobby's cool, you know, just
and you
take a nap on the couch.
Monorail ride is cool. Train ride, you can cool down at the Magic Kingdom. So there are different, a boat ride at Epcot. Somewhat cool, depending on how the day's going.
So
you do have some options. So now another thing that I wanted to bring up as far as keeping cool was something I noticed the last year, maybe 2 years, that have been popping up all over the parks, and that's personal air coolers. They have different varieties, from $7-$8 jobs, which Hope and I both used last summer and used it very well. And they also can go up to, and I was just going on Amazon to take a look around, a set, or not a set, but a around the neck cooler and heater for $250 that will lower your temperature by 21 degrees in 1 second is the advertisement, which I think is amazing. Dangerous, maybe even. But
I would say that's like making your body go into shock.
Yeah. That doesn't sound.
You start have people good. Start gasping because they think that they've jumped into frigid water.
Oh, sure, yeah, exactly. So you always have to be careful, I guess, testing it out. But like I said, the one I got was about $8, and Hope and I each got one, and it's called the O2 Cool. Takes 2 AA batteries, and the idea is I wear it around the neck on a string, and I have it under my chin where it goes on, and it just blows air up into my face.
Yeah.
So it's nice in that regard, and if you know a little biology, you know that the human body, if it sweats and you get wind on it, you do get a little cooler. So that's the basic technology we have going here. And you can spend anywhere from, like I said, $5 to about, I say, $25 on these, what they call air pushers, or what I call them. And they work really well. And if nothing else, once you do hit an air-conditioned area, like an attraction, they push that air conditioning right into your face. So that's kind of cool too, literally. Now, when you do spend the more money, the units start actually having their AC capabilities where they are cooler and they are pumping out cool air. I haven't decided to ever invest in those because I can't really spend the money on something that I'll probably either leave somewhere or break or whatever. But I have seen a lot of people using them in the parks.
Now, I consider myself a personal fan connoisseur. I have tried a bunch of different ones. I've tried the neck one. My boyfriend swears by that one. I like them, but they're like, I don't like it like around my neck. And I'm talking about the ones that look like headphones that sit on your neck. That's just a personal preference for me.
There's a little bit of weight.
Yeah. Definitely. I do the ones that are like handheld, and I want to say the one that I got is actually kind of cool because it's rechargeable. It is a multi-purpose tool. It is a battery pack and a flashlight. And it was $20 on Amazon.
Oh, double cool. And it keeps you cool?
It keeps me cool. It has three different speeds for the fan. And it's foldable, so like the blades are like covered when you're not using it, so you don't have to worry about them getting damaged in the book bag or something like that. But if I'm not using that one, the foldable fans at the parks have come back like into style over the last couple years.
Paper and wood?
The paper and wood ones in Japan and China, which I have like two or three of those floating around my house. But Disney is actually... they're plastic. They got fabric on them. They're got different.
Oh, right. Different advertisement, like Cinderella on one.
Yeah. Like I know me and Kim have the Haunted Mansion wallpaper ones. I think my mom has one that's the Mind Birds from Finding Nemo. I want to say they're like between $15, $20. And they push more air than my personal fans.
Yeah, I agree. Hope got one last summer. I totally agree with that. Thinking about it again.
And I think that was the trip all of us got the fans. So Hope was like with all of us girls.
That's right.
You know.
That's true. Very true.
We were the fan. We were literally a fan club. Ha, ha, ha.
Ouch. But they were hanging all by the cash registers and around the areas. Different stores had them. Everybody had them. It seemed. You're right. Great idea.
For personal fans, we've typically stayed with the clamps for the stroller. So for the little one that's sitting in the stroller, rechargeable, you can plug it in at night, clamps right onto one of the frames, rails of the stroller, turn it on, different speeds. It's great white noise to get them to sleep, but also just kind of keeping them cool. So that's typically the personal fan we've found in Amazon too. I think $20-$30 at most.
Right. Nice.
And
right.
I actually kind of want to get one of those for my mom for her ECV. Because she can, it would work the same. So, I mean, you know.
Clip it right into the basket in the front and, blow it right on her face.
She'd be good.
One of the other things we use on the stroller that has, we were introduced to it by another family that lived in Florida at the time. It's called a Versabrella. They have different brands, but that's the brand that we've fell in love with. So, it's a clamp that screws on, so it's on the stroller, and then it pivots at least three or four spots. So it will pivot down at the clamp, it will pivot again at the middle, it will pivot again at the top, and then it will also spin because the umbrella is more oblong shape than it is round. And you literally could cover the entire front of this stroller and block out all the sun for either just some sensory overload time to be away. Sure. It could be to darken the space in the stroller for a good nap, but also just to keep them a lot cooler, keep them dry if it's raining, whatever you need. But we love those Versabrellas. And if it was a big rainstorm, we could always, make a quick twist and then carry it over the top of you into, an attraction and just fold it down. So that has always and continues to be a must-have for us.
I feel like that would also be less claustrophobic to the kid than, I've seen some strollers where, the shade over the top, kind of goes all the way over and looks like they're in a little capsule like Grogu. I feel like that would be less claustrophobic for a kid too. So that's a great idea.
Right.
Yeah, because you can really shift it in any direction, one way or the other, depending where the sun is or what you're trying to block out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you actually kind of hit the last thing on my list too, were the umbrellas. Now, things we go to the parks with all the time because it's Florida, for my family, are umbrellas. We don't mind carrying them around because when we need them, they're awesome to have. And you just don't want to ever get stuck without. But they block the sun just as well as they block the rain, especially in those super hot days when you are trying to get somewhere over a lot of space, like maybe World Showcase or such like that. And just to put the umbrella up over yourself and you block the sun a little bit, you feel the temperature difference right away.
Yeah.
Not sustaining, but definitely helpful.
Yeah, I definitely try to, well, I don't do an umbrella for keeping the sun out. I do it more for those, oh, it's not going to rain today, here comes the thunder.
You got to take it to keep off the rain. You're right. Or keep it away.
But I do have to admit, like, I usually pack like a poncho or a little tiny umbrella. But when I was with you last summer and we had the torrential downpour, I was like, okay, yeah, the big umbrellas make sense. I get it.
Golf umbrellas, the Home Depot has them for like $7.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're great because worst case, they get busted at the parks, or sometimes I'll take them down on the plane. And I just won't take my umbrella back with me. Just one less thing to worry about travel-wise if I actually bought stuff in the parks and such, because it's like expendable. I consider it an expendable item, but totally useful to have. And all you have to do is have that one torrential downpour where, yeah, granted, you're getting more wet from the ground where the rain's bouncing off of it, but still, to have an umbrella like that is awesome.
Now, I have seen these on Amazon, and if it wasn't for the price, I'd be tempted to get them. They are lightsaber umbrellas.
Sam's got like...
That's five. Cool.
Yeah. Like, I would totally...
They light up, so aren't they going to get like, in the water? Have issues?
I mean, I'm assuming they're sealed somehow because they're umbrellas. They've got to work in the water. But like...
True.
I would totally... I've totally thought about like getting one of those. Like,
you just get yourself a lightsaber and convert it. You know, just tape on an umbrella on top, you're set.
That's true. One thing I do also do, and it actually helps with the heat, is I pack more than one outfit a day. I know that makes me, again, the overpacker. But again, if you have...
feel less gross in the afternoon than somewhere at night.
I mean, there's no shame in that, you know?
No, I wish it would help cool down because then you do it a lot. But it's just a matter of changing out. You're right. You're just not like wet and sweaty as much. Sure. Yeah. Good one. Okay, guys, what do you think? How do you keep cool at the parks? Let us know what we missed because we're always looking for something new to keep cool.
We always need something to buy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Something else to buy. But send us an email. Let us know what you think. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9:00 Walt Disney World time.
So, okay, guys. So that's it for show number 486 of the Disney Nerds Podcast, How to Stay Cool in the Parks. Thanks for listening. For Melissa, for Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.